Yeah, here we go. Chapter 10, keeping God's commandments. So most of this we have covered pretty well. Keeping his word. If you don't like commandments, if you've got an aversion to that word, put down his word. Because, you know, I heard someone reciting the shorter catechism, and the salvation part, the justification part, was wonderful. But the sanctification part, after you get saved, you keep the Ten Commandments. That's how you get sanctified. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Romans 6, 7, and 8 is how God sanctifies. Thank God for that. You know, Romans 7 says we're dead to the law. We're free from the law. Romans 6 says free. Romans 7 says free. Romans 8 says free. Sister Mooneyhan used to say, free, free, free. Praise God. So we're going to go back to chapter 10, but we're not going to go back under the law. So they come to Rehoboam to make him king, and the people appeal to him in verse 4. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father. So Solomon in his later days became an oppressive king. And his heavy yoke that he put on us, and we will serve thee. So Rehoboam says, give me 3 days. His old counselors say, if thou be kind to this people, in verse 7, and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men and listened to the young men. And when they come back, in verse 12, Jeroboam and all Israel, all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, and the king, as the king bade, saying, come again to me on the third day. Verse 14 says, he answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And that was a foolish reply. He showed himself to be a foolish man, not a good leader. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, I'm back to the starting point again. And we went back to the other chapter, and this had to happen. You know, this terrible split in the kingdom happened. Why? Because Solomon did not keep the Lord's word. You know, if we can just put it down in our little book and don't forget it, if we do not keep his word, well, there will be some disastrous consequences in our life. Just like Sister Roberta was relating at the intermission. You know, it might be the kingdom will bust up. It might be the home. It might be the bank account. It might be your health. It'll be something will bust up. And it just won't work. So I am encouraged by this chapter to keep the Lord's word. Praise the Lord. And I want to hear the Lord say to me, you've got a little strength and you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. And again, because you've kept the word, my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Praise God. All right, chapter 11. Obeying the words of the Lord. There's a little shade of difference every chapter, and you'll see that. For instance, if we go in this chapter over to verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. And they obeyed the words of the Lord. So, you know, we've had a lot on obeying the word of the Lord already, you know, in previous studies, haven't we? You remember back in 1 Samuel 15:21? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. Or, we didn't have this, but how about Acts 5:29? You know, Peter and John replied, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so, obeying the words of the Lord. Verses 1 to 4, God prevents civil war. Verses 5 to 17, God strengthens Judah. And verses 18 to 23, God suspects departure. Well, God doesn't have to suspect. He knows what's coming, but he gives me a little inclination here that things are going haywire. They're going down the tubes. So we'll read from chapter 11. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he gathered of the house of Judah and Benjamin 144,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against Israel, that he might bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. And we've already read, and they obeyed the words of the Lord. So that was good. Civil war was prevented, and it was the thing to do. And Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for the defense of Judah. And those cities are listed. Verse 11 says, he fortified the strongholds, put captains in them, and so forth. Verse 12 says, in every several city he put shields and spears and made them exceeding strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side. And the priests and Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coast. And so all the spiritual element in Israel filtered into the two tribes, the south. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office under the Lord. God's blessing Judah, and you know, no end right now. Verse 16, and after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came to Jerusalem. So all the spiritual people who are seeking God come to Jerusalem, come to Judah, to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. All right, notice verse 17. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. And then what happened? They're starting to go astray. And there's elements of that in these last verses. For instance, let's notice verse 21. Some about Rehoboam. He doing that? What is he doing? Following right in his dad's footsteps. And the Lord said, don't do it, right? He's doing the same thing. He's heading down the old wide road that leads to destruction. And he begat 28 sons and 80 daughters. Who could handle a family like that? Well, he obviously couldn't. He could with the Lord's help, I guess. But there's a symptom here. And we see it's going to come to fruition. Chapter 12. Chapter 12, let's call this preparing the heart to seek the Lord. That's a little bit different. But you're going to notice in verse 14, this was Rehoboam's undoing. It says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You know, whatever that means, I need to learn what it is and get involved in that spiritual exercise. And if I don't do it, there's going to be trouble. I'll have trouble with my outlandish wives. And if I don't have trouble with them, I'll have trouble with the neighbors. All right. I think the Lord just see to it. You know, if you don't prepare your heart, someone says, how in the world do you prepare your heart to seek the Lord? I can't answer that question thoroughly, but you know, there's some verses that come to mind. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and so forth. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Or how about Joshua 1, is it 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate there and day and night. That thou may, that's not the heart. So anyhow, Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. There's a lot of things. These are exercises of our heart that we ought to. We need heart exercise. Prepare our heart to seek the Lord. And you know, I think when we do it, God, he helps us. And when your heart's prepared to seek the Lord says, look, I'm going to really do things for you. You know, have you ever opened up the Bible and something just comes out to you and think, oh, Lord, you showed me that, or I'd never seen it. And I just needed that so much. And, oh, I needed that. And it's just like a cloud of letting rain. So, verses 1 to 4, Rehoboam's sins visited. Verses 5 to 12, Rehoboam's humbling accepted. He gets in trouble, he humbles himself and all the princes, and God accepts it, and he restores them. Verses 13 to 16, Rehoboam's life analyzed. And that's in this analyzing of his life is where we find out that was his one besetting sin. All right? And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. You know, most of us cannot stand very much. Well, fill in the blank. I wasn't going to think of that word. Right, got it. You got it, Jack. Give Jack an A for tonight. He got the answer. And we'll give you an A minus, because correction is right, too. He forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. He forsook the law of the Lord. He did other things. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. And verse 4 says he took the fenced cities that pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shimei the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem, because Shishak said unto them, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. You know, does anyone here tonight want to visit some Shishak? I don't. There was a man that I knew well, and this man said that, or his wife told me, she said we had saved up $300,000 to retire on. And she says, Paul got this brain tumor, and he had his own business. He did not have any insurance. And she said, when I finally buried Paul, she says, you know what we had in the bank? She says, nothing. All gone. Now, you know, that's the way things go in this life if you don't put the Lord first. My Aunt Louise used to say, don't lay up for the rainy day, because if you do, it'll probably come. And so, you know, honor the Lord in your life, and put the Lord first. You won't get any visits from this Shishak. I've had him visit me a little bit. Not on a big scale. but I don't want to be visited by this character anymore. Prepare your heart a little bit more, and you won't be having those things. Verse 6 says, whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. What a wonderful God we've got. We humble ourselves, and God lets up. Now, I think it's so wonderful that, you know, he looks down and he says, you know, I just can't come down any harder on him or her. They've humbled them. Verse 8, nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. They need to learn, like the little boy, or, you know, like the man, rather, who allegedly planted briars in his neighbor's wheat, and when it came, and he had a change of heart. When it came harvest time, he was out harvesting the wheat, and the man said, well, I forgive you for putting the briars out there, but you know you're going to have to harvest and get scratched. I got up on a roof this morning over in Kansas City, Kansas, and some kids, why did they do it? They had just covered that roof with rocks about so big, almost if they'd planted them. A jillion rocks up there. It was unfinished. We weren't done. And I thought, well, here we are in James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers. Sing your heart out. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God. And, you know, if I got upset and all that, why? And I know Keith and Jack thought I'd lost my mind, but that's all right. I didn't lose my temper. Yeah, well, yeah, really. You know, finding delight in doing something like that. Well, it was kind of fun. So let's go on down further in our chapter. We read this verse that sums up. Verse 12 says, and when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, and he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam, Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah an Ammonitess. You know, that even spells trouble itself, doesn't it? That here Solomon had married an Ammonite woman, and he's got this son who is half Ammonite and half Israelite. What an example. What a poor example. Lord, help us to be an example of the believer.